Hey, you know what the fuck you clicked on? This is the latest and greatest episode of God's favorite podcast. I asked him slash her. By the way, she's a her, and she fucks with our shit.
Ain't she fine?
It's the host with the most, Johnny Curry, and my name is my name. Get at me on my social medias.
Yo, it's your boy Stan. I don't have any other nicknames because you already know what it is. We back, baby.
Yeah, follow nigga on Twitch.
Yeah, follow me on Twitch. Follow me on Twitch. I got some funny shit, some Sim City shit. If you want to see me build a city and destroy it right after, because I suck at the game, tune in, tap in. We live. Nate is here.
Oh, wait, hold up. The third mic. The Hokage of the Village of the Leaves. It's the commander of the Scout Regiment, the king of the pirates, the commissioner of CCG, the principal of the Hero Academy, the captain commander of the Tier 13, leader of the Heishin Unit, general of an army. Odin-sama, husband of Rengiku, Fanny Cole Jackson. I'm a retired athlete, capital case R. I haven't played sports in 10 years. Can I ask you guys something? How many relationships have you guys been in, like, in life?
Relationships as in with another female?
If you've been with someone else, I'm open to that too.
Well, okay, that was...
Are you talking about a relationship or relationship?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Hey, Nate. That's what I meant. Like, just FYI, like, what I said with a lady, I meant, like, or, like, with my family.
Yeah, we're
like
not trying to get no big
nothing. Relationship in general, like a friend or...
No.
I wasn't saying, like, you know?
Someone you fucking, who takes you seriously, and you take them seriously, in life.
I've only been in two.
In two?
Mm-hmm. Two legit ones, yeah.
I feel like the pause already is getting me in trouble. Like, I should have the number by now.
I don't know if I know mine off the top of my head.
I'm trying to consider based off the definition you said, like, what we count.
Someone that you both took seriously, whether you got put a label on that or not.
I feel like for me, it's five.
For both of you, has there been a common complaint that you've got throughout all of your relationships on you? That's an interesting thing that I think I've been kind of reflecting back on.
Honestly, if I had to be fully transparent, there has been things that I've just been able to get away with that I just don't want to do anymore in other relationships anymore. I don't want to say get away with, but I think there's a level of, I think after a certain period of times in these, we'll call them relationships right now for terms, there is a level of coasting and complacency that I feel like I can get to where I did so much stuff up front where it's like, I don't start acting like the real, normal, chilled out, regular guy version of me until like maybe like 2 months in. And then I feel like I take women on this roller coaster where we going up, up and up. We doing all this crazy baller shit. They see like the lavish bachelor side of me. And then there's the actual phase in the relationship where y'all gotta chill the fuck out and just be regular people. And like, I've taken them on such a ride up that they're like, why are we not still going to the moon?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, at some point in time, we gotta chill out, work our jobs, or like at the time, go to class and like live our lives. Like,
keep expectations low.
Yeah, I think I just exceed expectations so much, so consistently, so the first couple of months so fast that it puts the relationship later on a just unsustainable trajectory.
So do you mean that in terms of having like lavish experiences together, or do you mean that in terms of like almost love bombing?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's a combination of both, which is dangerous. And I think what I've noticed with women is like women are very defensive with their heart at first. But then once they open up to you, they're like really committed to you. That's like the beauty of really love and just what women provide in general. That's why women are awesome. But what can happen with that is like when you have broken down that shell and they're finally vulnerable with you, it's like what mattered to them the most was the journey of how they got comfortable with you. And if that journey was, you know, like a bunch of high roller coaster-esque like love bombing and like lavish experiences and stuff, like they're gonna normalize their first moments of falling in love with you through those experiences. So it's like it's kind of like my responsibility as a man to kind of just like really be what I'm going to naturally be and who I really am, like in general, after the 3 month period, just up front and like maybe backload or pace out, you know, kind of some of those experiences or the love bombing and stuff. And I definitely have hit the point now where I've been burnt so many times from the repercussions of this, where it's like I'm hard-headed, but I've learned this lesson now, where I think the things that I'm going into now is like just a lot more cruising, being myself, being patient, understanding, like, especially as men now with our age and where we're at income wise like, we are the prize, and like, just being yourself is more than good enough. Like, the dynamics completely flip from your mid-20s onwards dating, as I'm sure like you guys have already seen. And I mean, if some of y'all are already been in relationships for a long time, so you could see it with your friends and stuff, or maybe how you even get treated in a social setting given where you're at. I think it's just understanding, like, don't play yourself out of pocket or trying to match somebody's expectations so they can see you for who you are, but rather just, you know, be yourself throughout the whole time, and know that the right person will come along for you. I think that something that also affected that for me was what I used to prioritize versus what I prioritize now, completely different.
Yeah. Can I ask you something? What do you think drives you to give them such lavish experiences to start? Like, what drives you to want to impress them in that way?
It's a really good question. I think what has led to that has been, for some reason, I've always thought like the only way to get somebody, especially somebody who's like been through other relationships, been through a lot of trauma, either through parenthood or other previous relationships and stuff, and
or a
like
hot chick.
I've noticed in my past, I've exclusively dated hot, broken women. And so that defensive shell has been set up for completely different reasons than what I would actually understand at that moment. Like, I would think like, oh, if I exceed this certain type of standards of being a provider to this woman, that will let her lower her shell. When in reality, the reason why her shell is like that is because it just, you know, trauma from previous experiences that has led them to be defensive. And like, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Because if you actually care about somebody and are willing to talk through stuff, and you're comfortable enough being vulnerable with them, you, as the man, like as the leader kind of in that relationship, you'll set that expectation. And then things will really actually start to unravel the natural way where both y'all can actually be comfortable and vulnerable around each other. But for some reason, when I was younger, I was like, oh, the only way a woman's going to take me serious is if I show them my ability to be a provider. And also, like, I think, I mean, this is going to get really dated and shit, but growing up, like, especially during the 90s and 2000s, I'd really say only until midway through Obama's first term, I think race played a huge factor in the way I perceived myself in relationships, as well as just results. Like, I think, I mean, I'm interested to see what your guys' thoughts are on this, but like, especially in the Indian community, like, we would only date Indian women because literally the men, this sounds super fucked up, but I know this for sure, a bunch of other Indian guys would have hit this. Literally, we thought that white women would never be interested in us. So like, if like the ultimate prize for me as like a young kid, when I was in like middle school and even early high school, you can even see it in my early dating, like from college and stuff too. I got with white women because that had never been done before. And then I'd go back to my community and people would be like, this man's breaking records.
Oh.
And it's like, really?
He's the one.
Yeah, it's like, really, I'm stating, I'm chasing the perception of a status symbol. And then suddenly I get in these relationships where I'm just not actually with somebody who's for me. Like, just in terms of our personality and stuff like that, it has nothing to do with race, but I would get with these people and be like, oh wow,
yeah,
yes, you're really attractive, but like, now that we have to hit these phases that I was telling y'all about, where we're past the 3 months I've
right
taken them out on all these lavish experiences and stuff, I'd start to realize like, oh, from an actual sustainable like relationship standpoint, in terms of like actually building like a fulfilling family unit together, I think day in and day out we're too different. And so like,
yeah, probably something
like
that.
You know, back in the days, I wasn't even aware. Like, I was so naive, I wouldn't even think about these things. I wouldn't even think long term at all. I'd be like, oh my god, the fact that this girl is talking to me is crazy, let's keep this going. And that got me in all the trouble in the world.
I think it's a good example too in just life to just be real and be yourself in all aspects and tell the truth. And like just more general, like, lying to me is like tiring.
Yes.
You know, and like, man, I just would rather tell the truth because I don't want to have to remember this shit and then be this certain way whenever the time comes and yeah. remember this relationship with this person, that relationship with that person because I was acting this way to him.
Yeah.
You know, but what now what happens if they're together? Now yeah. I got a mix of this person that I created between the two. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you just set the tone with a person, just be who you are, you won't have to live up to this thing you created because you're just being you and not yeah. who you created, you know. And we all
and,
got
and you get who really works with you,
right?
You said what, Nate?
And you really find out who really works with you.
Exactly. Yes, that's a big thing, man, because you don't even know what works for you if you're being fake.
No idea.
Yeah, like if you're yeah, being fake, you're getting with somebody who might like you, but they like you for the faking.
Yeah.
And so then once you actually start being real, now low-key you kind of tricked that person. Like that was something I even had a battle with. Yeah. All of a sudden I end up in a relationship where I'm a sugar daddy. I never even wanted that, but I set that precedence. Like I did that.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
We're also trying to figure out who the hell we are too. Like that, I mean, like there's like a little bit of that too. Like
yeah,
like and it changes all the time too. Like as I'm getting older, like some things just aren't as fun to me anymore. This isn't what I want to do anymore. I'm becoming more or less frugal. I don't know. Like I mean, you know what I mean? Like
right.
It's just like you're constantly changing. So you're constantly refiguring out who you are, kind of in that moment, and then. But you just kind of got to go with your gut, I feel like, and just be like, does this feel right to me, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, do I feel good? Like, is that cognitive dissonance kicking in where it's like, ah, yeah. I don't like what I just did there, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you readjust, you know? So it's like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's a constant relearning, it feels like.
Yeah.
I feel like to what Johnny was saying earlier, with bringing back home the white girl trophy, I feel like that's a status symbol. I feel like an understated benchmark for men that people don't really, highlight a lot, that's big, is when they stop looking at their women as a point of validation.
Yeah.
For whatever, for their own manliness, for their own status, for their own whatever. Because I feel like it's a pitfall that so many men fall into from the jump with dating. Like your first girlfriend, it becomes a point of like, oh, I have a white girl, I have a girl, never thought I would get, I have a girl with ass, or I mean, you'd be attracted to that too, but it costs me a status more.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or just a girl just to be a mirror for the good qualities that you want to see in yourself, but at the end of the day you're not seeing them for them and you're not really seeing them for the relationship you have with them. And that's something that I see a lot of men going to fucking marriages for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we as men don't talk about that enough because like we just don't want to come off as coons, which is extremely valid and fair. But that's a thing that I think, especially growing up in America, a lot of people, it's one of those things where now as an adult, I realize like, wow, these are stereotypes. Like when we're young, like we're like, oh, I hope when I'm an adult, like that type of racism doesn't happen anymore. But then because we grow up in that structure, we end up perpetuating that racism later as we grow up because like, we're like, oh, wow. Like that, you know, in this case, like the white woman is like a status symbol. Like when we're sitting there in like the 90s and the 2000s, like we're getting fed Pamela Anderson, like Carmen Electra, all of this shit. And we're not really like there's not as much praise to just like appreciating other things in life. And so then we start to make that association in our own head. But that never was within us. That was kind of created from our own perception of being cool.
Right.
And like you grow up and then you later on figure out like, oh, that doesn't necessarily work for me. Or you just find out, hey, I'm starting to learn new things about who I am as a person. Like,
and what I value.
What works for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it sucks that like we're naming this like one, we're like, you know, making it about race in this one case. Cause I think it could apply to other things. Like you could be, we could have switched, for example, the white woman out to be like a woman with a fat ass, for example.
Yeah.
And it's the same situation, right?
Start looking at my status thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And all
yeah,
like
too.
Not looking at them as humans. I mean,
literally. Yeah, it's status symbol, straight up. We're not looking at them as humans at that point.
Are y'all people that have to touch the stove to know it's hot?
Yeah, in some cases, unfortunately. In some cases, not.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Yeah. I like wonder like about that for me. I think I do a pretty good job of steering myself in the right direction off of like seeing another example or seeing someone else's example and kind of taking that and being okay with kind of keeping on my own path, you know?
Yeah.
but it also is tough. And then I know like some people are like, they gotta burn themselves to know, yeah, I should probably shouldn't touch that again. But I think sometimes, even with like a relationship, this might seem crazy, but like there's constantly that hot stove of like when you're in a relationship, right? Like there's constantly these pitfalls, things you could trip over, ways you could fuck up, right? But in my mind, I know in my heart that if I step over those pitfalls, if I, you know, jump over them, I avoid them, and I keep that foundation strong in my relationship, that only good if it's the right relationship, right? And we work on that and whatnot, right? If it's the right thing, like that's gonna bear so much more fruit than these other shiny objects.
That's a really smart point.
On the path. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's tough because it's like, you know, like I know it's better to foster this relationship. But it's just, I like it. It's tough, right? And I feel like that's like a test of your manhood.
I feel like it gets easier after you really see the benefit. I mean, it takes a while to see the benefits of really putting into a relationship. But I feel like it gets easier after seeing that. Like now, at this point in my life, I'm damn near 30. And I don't see myself being tempted by that shit anymore. I might just be where I'm at now or relationship even now. But I honestly just feel like I've seen the benefit of really staying focused and building with one person with the shit that fucking matters, and the other shit doesn't really entice me like that anymore.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like it did when I was 19.
That's growth, man. I think that's like maturity and also finding somebody who's the right fit for you. I think that's the awesome thing about being in a relationship that's right. Like even when it's really hard and shitty, like going to Stan's point, like sometimes there, especially when you're in a relationship, for some reason that's when the temptation is the highest. Not necessarily from like you just seeking other options, but other options seeking you.
I think
this is true. Every guy can admit to this. When you're in a relationship, more single women want you. I don't know why. I don't even, like, it's like a sixth sense that they can figure that shit out, but it happens. And all of a sudden, you know, you're left with choices where it's not even like, oh, I want to go cheat on my girl. I'm not even trying to insinuate that, but it's like, oh, wow, because this other woman's validating me in this moment where I'm also having this dumb argument with my girlfriend, maybe I shouldn't be like as tapped into that argument or be hearing her points because I'm still the man out here in these streets.
Right.
I think I know the reason why it does, why they do flock like bees.
I think I do too. I want to hear you say that.
They're like a hive. It's crazy.
And the reason is because you're not paying any attention to them. You don't look like a thirsty ass motherfucker at the bar. You just at the bar kicking. You just at the bar kicking it. You just
having a
genuine good time, not going out searching for like, oh, the only way I have fun is if I get some bitches tonight. Blah, blah, blah. Like when you have that energy of just shit, I'm out here kicking it with my boys, whatever. We're having a good time. That's the vibe.
Yeah,
that brings them. I think.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it's exasperated too because the opposite side of what you're saying, that fucking thirsty energy, which you can see in niggas' eyes, is just starving niggas.
Yeah.
You can see it, and it's so many niggas. You don't know
that until your relationship.
Be a relationship, go in the bar, just looking around, you'll see a pack of hungry niggas. And like, all girls see 24/7 is just hungry, dirty, scumbag niggas. And like, just like, well, one is the energy of dog, I'm not even looking at you, I'm not worried about it, I got mine. You, that energy radiates off you, and it's attractive when everyone else around you is a sea of hyenas. But if they do actually like know your relationship, like I don't think girls really like want to be like a homewrecker or nothing like that. I don't think that's something that girls constantly want. But in a world full of niggas who are almost unanimously scumbags, just that knowing that some girl chose to invest their whole life in you is validation that you're not one of those scumbags.
Right.
And that alone makes you stand out so much that they fuck up your relationship and make you a scumbag. But there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I think most of it is rooted in thirsty niggas.
Going off of what Stan was saying, though, if you can fight that struggle and like actually do the work that you're supposed to with your partner, those fruits of that labor will show up, but you never get to see it in real time. Like when you're in the middle of trying to figure out that situation with a woman you love and you're compromising and you're making these sacrifices to make her happy, in that moment you're like, this shit sucks, everything is going her way, this is not fun. But then you see 2 or 3 weeks later, some random period of time where it's like, oh, because I did right by her in this moment where she'll just be awesome to you. And it's like, you can't predict it. You never know when it's coming, but
you don't. Men are so short-sighted in that way.
And I think that is one of the benefits and downfalls to marriage, right? Like the marriage thing, like, which I'm like realizing in like a half-ass way right now because we bought the house together. But like me and Gab, we've had our fights, like obviously, and like actually right now we're in a pretty, to be honest, we're in a pretty down time right now. I feel like the relationship bug is coming for everybody. It's coming for everybody. After our engagement, that motherfucker started plucking people off. got you, Johnny. I'm sorry. It got you. Like, crazy, it got Ryan. Just
it got everybody, bro.
Just started snagging people. Then it started fucking, this is on my shoulder. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man.
Me and Gabby been fighting. We in a downtime right now. I'll keep it real. But like, I'm realizing where I'm immature in a lot of ways still.
A relationship will do that to you.
But I can feel myself maturing at the same time, because back when we were in college, whenever we'd have these fights or whatever, I'd be like, ah, fuck you. I'm good. I'll break up with you. I ain't worried about it. Whatever. And then she would do her best to keep us together. And now it's kind of in the flip and be like, nah, I'm going to keep us together. I'm going to make sure that we're good. Like, I'm going to be here in your downtime, whatever, and show you that, you know, I'm the one that, you know, you're supposed to be with or whatever. But what I was saying was with marriage too, and like in a fake way with our house, it's like, we can't just up and leave. We're tied to each other, right?
Yeah.
Like we both bought this house together. Like, yeah, sure, we could just, I'd be doing this in fights too. We could just sell the house, which we can, but obviously it would take, like, we got to sit here awkwardly for a month, broken up, sleeping in the same bed, you know what I'm saying, while we wait on the house to sell. Who knows if the market is hot enough for the house to sell, we could be sitting on this house for 3 months and still have this communication for 3 months. While we're selling the house, and then we can't really move and do what we want until the house is sold and the equity is dished out, whatever. So like, I see that, you know, with marriage in being that, hey, look, we're tied together. Like, there can be a downfall to that, right? Like, you know, if I was like some motherfucker beating my wife or something like that, God dang, that would suck. Right. But in a relationship where we truly care about each other, we're just trying to work through some shit, it makes it easier for us to work through it because we're like, we can't leave that easy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's benefits to it.
I guess also.
And downsides.
Depends on relationship. Yeah. It depends on relationship.
It depends on the relationship, which is what makes me feel like we have something good and something worthwhile to keep together and keep going. And then, like, you know, you think back to all the moments too, of like all the beautiful moments of like what our relationship has fostered, right? Like bringing our friends together for this party or that party, or bringing my family in for Christmas and going to her family for Thanksgiving. Like, it's just all these like beautiful moments that our relationship is bred, and like, you got to kind of like think back to those times too to help in like the downtimes, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And like, also, I think loving each other is one thing that's definitely important, but being patient enough with each other to become each other's therapist to unpack arguments, especially cyclical arguments, is the most important thing. Sometimes you be having an argument with your partner, and your partner is just really like going through it, and you're just like, where's this energy coming from?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, if you don't remember that one story that like the person you're dating told you from like their childhood or something, or like, oh, my parents used to do this and it really used to affect me, or like, you know, like when my parents got divorced, like these were the things that led to their divorce or something. Mm-hmm. Your partner, because they're so emotional in that moment, won't understand the connections of those dots to be like, okay, that's why I'm feeling the way I do right now, because I'm actually having a flashback when my parents were going through this and it really hurt me because I never wanted to see my parents break up and I didn't like them arguing about that. So it's like, it's kind of crazy, but like, you as the other person in that moment kind of have to connect the dots for them because they're going through this whole emotional thing, and be like, sometimes it might have to lead to you eating shit in that moment and just letting them unload a clip on you, because they're actually going through something that's a lot deeper than just the argument on the surface level.
Yeah.
But like, if you don't have the patience and the love that day to play that role, I mean, you just kind of getting just like beat down and you don't know where it's coming from. And then that might make you feel a type of way and react.
Feelings always kind of come from something.
Yes.
Like, even if it, like, as a man, sometimes we're like, ah, it's a dumb feeling. Like, I shouldn't be feeling like this. Just keep it pushing. But like, since I've been with Gabby, what if she's so into her feelings, right? Like, everything is about feelings. Like, feelings justify everything. So that's the other extreme, right? So I gotta reel that part in. But like, I gotta reel in my feelings too, where like, I don't know, I'm very adamant that if I feel a type of way, I gotta say it right then and there. Like, if there's something that just feels off,
right?
Like, I don't feel like our energy is good today. Like, something's off. I'm like, hey, what's up? Right. I gotta say it. I gotta get it off my chest, or else, I don't know about y'all, but like, if I just let something sit, I just...
Oh, I hate that.
I'm very similar to this.
I can't sit in that at all.
Yeah.
Same, man. But see, like, I think, Stan, you were gonna say this too, and so maybe this is a problem that all three of us share, which is that, like, calling something out, sometimes there's an elephant in a room in a relationship that people won't acknowledge, and then, like, a cancer, it'll grow, and then just take down the relationship. So, Stan, you're doing right by that. But the thing that gets all three of us, I'm sure, in trouble is how we go about saying it.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And I think the how we go about saying it is what really fucking kills
me. Oh, my God.
Lay on my woman. And with me, actually.
We're direct. We grew up with fathers that probably were, like, very militaristic.
Yeah.
And so it's all about suppressing your feelings and getting your shit done.
Oh,
like, man. That's where we got raised. We function like that. We live under that.
This is such a relatable pod. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, man.
We're like, I don't go to this problem.
We're in fucking lockstep right now.
Nah, for real.
Yeah. No, we're on the couch now. I feel like I never go to this problems with, like, with a harsh energy, but I do with a cold energy usually. Like, I feel like, because I see shit as a problem, and I feel like when I see shit as a problem, I try to go with that shit logically. And if I'm dealing with a girl who, like, if the problem's on her side, or she feels something off or something like that, it's all feeling. And I'm not well versed in dealing with feeling problems or solving feeling problems with feelings.
Bam.
which is what she's looking for, because that's how she gets all of her reassurance and everything. But I get cold when I try to solve a problem, and she thinks I'm like, I don't know, that I feel less about her, or I don't feel as passionate as she does, or whatever the fuck. But like, that's just, it's back to the point, like, going, it's how you go at it.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like we speak two different languages sometimes as a man and woman.
How do you feel more? I actually don't think that I don't have a ton of feelings. Like, I have a ton of feelings.
I have feelings too. And Nate, I would actually say you got feelings too.
That's what I was going to say. Nate, I feel like, has got a bunch of feelings too.
I think this is what's going on. This is my thing. We as men, especially as engineers, when a problem happens, we solve the problem. We are problem solvers. That's what we do. So when our girl comes to us with something, the first thing we try to do is come up with a solution. The thing that has helped me so much, and I'm sure will help y'all, is, like, don't start by trying to solve the problem. Just feel with them in that moment. Like, sometimes I'd argue with Lauren, where she'd come to me with a problem or something's going on, like, oh, I feel like I've been growing more distant with my friends and stuff. And the first thing that I would respond with would be like, okay, you know, why do you think your friends stopped talking to you as much? Or like, why did you stop talking to them? Like, what are you accountable for? What are they accountable for? And that's just a complete L. Like, we think we're doing right by them, but that's not it. Like, the biggest thing that Lauren taught me, where, like, I still have so much love and appreciation for her, and I wish we could have worked things out for it, because she made me realize this, and I would have not realized this without her, which is that, like, just hug me in that moment. Just be there for me. Like, just be present there in that moment for me. Empathize with me in that, and, like, just be comforting, be secure, like, in that moment.
Champion her. Like, fuck them bitches. Like, you don't need them. Or so, you know what I'm saying? Like, something like that. Like, kind of validate her feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, you don't want to lie to your girl. Like, I'm not saying, like, validate. If your girl's on bullshit, like, you don't want to validate that, obviously. But in that moment, don't solve the problem in that moment.
Yeah.
Even if everything you're about to say is, like, completely correct, it should be said, you can't get to that first. You got to do that in the back end of what you got to do. Like, it's got to be just being present, creating security, safeness, understanding, and empathy.
You want to fill in aspect first before you try to solve the problem here.
Right.
It's not easy. I think a lot of it, what guys most have to do, but girls have to do too, is you have to really, really take the time to address and understand the differences in how men and women experience shit. Because we deal with, at least I tend to deal with problems the way that I would like my problems to be solved. But I'm not right. going through the same shit that a girl is. Like, it's a bit off from what we're talking about, but like, onto the differences in how we experience shit. I've dealt with a lot of girls constantly asking me for reassurance and how I feel about them. When I feel like, I mean, I feel like I make that obvious. A man can get one good compliment and ride that shit out for fucking the next 24 years. And that's true for me. That's true yes. for me. Like, honestly, like, if you tell me you love me once, I get it. You love me. And I will remember that a year and a half later. But like, yeah, this bitch loves me. She said it once. A girl told me my dick was big in seventh grade, and I'm riding that shit to right now.
It exists. But like, I've had the complete opposite experience.
A girl needs to be told she's pretty every week, or she'll think you don't think you're pretty anymore. And that's like, it's a small thing, but it's a big difference in how we experience it. And that leads to her feeling like she doesn't get the reassurance, because I think that she has the reassurance that I would want.
Yeah.
Because I let you know how I feel before, so now I can just chill. Now I can just chill and be me. Right. Like what Johnny was saying before, like, you, I give my love bombing up front so you know how I feel. And now I can just relax because you know how I can feel. That's how I think, because that's how I think on the other side. But you got to address how different women and men's experience are, whether it's society or hormones or whatever the fuck it is.
You do. You will learn more with living with a female than you will learn in all your years of schooling.
Absolutely.
I've learned so much, man, just like about myself, how I was raised, like, gives me perspective on how other people were raised different, and like how you just
yeah.
naturally just do shit and you have no idea why the fuck you do it.
Oh yeah,
you just right. do shit, and it's like the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know, you will learn just so much about yourself and about other people moving in with a female. It's truly insane.
Absolutely. It's like the hardest thing you can do, but it's the most fulfilling thing you can do, because
yeah.
you just learn so. I mean, it does put your relationship just like completely on an accelerated speed path. That is aggressive. Like, it's aggressive.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, even say, God forbid, things didn't work out with me and Gabby, like, the amount of stuff that you learn and that you grow as a person is just, like, I'm going to handle things just so much yeah. better. Just, like, literally everything. But also, too, I think women bringing us more into our feelings, I think being in your feelings is being alive.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't agree more. It's
being crazy. Human.
I think you really should feel
yeah.
a lot, and yeah. like acknowledge your feelings, and just think about them. Why do I feel this way? Or, you know what I'm saying? I feel like the more you acknowledge them, the more you feel like you're living and not a robot doing work like men are supposed to do. We're supposed to work every day and this or that.
I feel like I look at sadness and anger like completely differently now.
Really?
Like, I no longer see sadness as like a negative thing, or anger. Constant sadness and constant anger is a completely different thing. But like yeah. feeling sad or feeling anger or feeling shit, even feeling like jealous or anything. Like, now I'm at this point where low-key, I think Shrooms helped a lot with that too. But low-key, I feel like whenever you feel, I used to dodge trying to feel sad. Like, so like, and it's a small thing, but like, try to not cry in movies or shit like that. But just because, like, I see these feelings as like a negative thing, and to dodge and not be, and like, always just try to be happy in every moment. But like,
you feel great after a cry.
For real, man.
I feel tremendous after a cry.
Yeah, you feel good. It's weird.
I do.
Yeah. As a generation of men, we were not given the tools for this. Like, we did not have a previous crazy. Generation that taught us any of this, and matter of fact, it was frowned upon to even express any of these things. Like, if me or my brothers got caught crying after we got beat, like, we were gonna get beaten some more, because like, what the fuck are you doing crying? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
that's how we grew up, like
right.
And so to come to some of these realizations that you guys talked about, like, nobody told us that this shit was okay. Matter of fact, we were told the opposite. If you don't process that yourself, like, it's gonna come up, it's gonna manifest in a bad way later on down the road. And right. I mean, it was tough. I mean, this year for me has been a journey for sure, because like, I think I also suffered with the same problem that you did too, Nate. And the thing that would help me kind of numb the emotions when I was going through it would be like weed. Honestly, I would turn to drugs and try to find some form of a distraction to just like numb me out of it. But I don't know, man, I really think that's an awesome realization to have, Nate. And like, that's why I definitely recommend, like, journaling for sure, any form of mindfulness, really, just meditating, spending that time really focusing on your breathing and trying to find ways to empty out the brain such that the thoughts you're supposed to be thinking about come to the forefront. And I really want to get better at that. It's something that I'm like at step one of doing, but it's tough to even take some of these steps because taking those steps come with you having to acknowledge like, okay, I suck at certain things, or like, hey, I have these bad habits that I don't want to admit to the public because I want to look like I have my life together and everything's perfect. But like, no, I can abuse marijuana like sometimes. Yeah. Like, or even with drinking, I know like people go through that too, where it's like, okay, I'll just like hit the bottle and forget about my problems, or like I'll just get high and do nothing today. But then that cost of the development you're supposed to be having from processing these emotions gets postponed, and like, yeah, then you're robbing yourself of your own growth,
and sometimes exasperated depending on what you're taking.
But I don't know,
definition of it is what we were talking about earlier, is just being okay with being yourself. Yeah, because that's really the only times that you take substances, right, is when you're feeling like you drink because you have social anxiety, because you're nervous of how people are going to perceive you, so you drink and make yourself a worse version of yourself for people to perceive, right?
That is weird.
But you, isn't that weird? Like, yeah, you make yourself stupider in front of people because you have social anxiety, because you're scared how they'll perceive you, but you hide that behind the guise of, oh yeah, I was drunk. If I said something genius, I'll take credit for it, but if I said something stupid, I was just drunk. Right.
But, it's like, if you can deal with the underlying problems and get rid of your social anxiety, come to terms with it, and still have your facilities, that's a fucking superpower.
It really is. And it is. I'll have moments, like maybe I just get some good sleep, I'm sober, like I'll have these moments of just a supreme confidence where I'm just like good in any social situation. I say whatever, I don't feel nervous to say whatever the fuck is on my mind. Like, I have these, it just comes in waves and it goes. And then, like, there's times where I just feel really insecure and I'm just like, maybe I should say that, maybe I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I'll just chill. But then I just need to know what I do. Maybe it's just 8 hours of sleep. Maybe it's that simple. But, like, I'll just have these waves of supreme confidence. I love that shit. Yeah, we just are just chilling, you know?
I think it's sustainable. I think there's something we can tap into over time. Yeah. Like, it's really just about being in a healthy, stable place.
And I think it's also a function of the people you're around. Because I have noticed that, which I want to eliminate. Like, I want to remove that completely. I want to be me all the fucking time. I want to have that supreme confidence all the time. But I've definitely realized that's probably the most extreme factor that I've noticed in my supreme confidence is like the combination of people that I'm around. Like, there's just some people, it's just smooth. Like, I mean, this conversation, like, it's going smooth. Like, it's smooth. Everything's smooth. When I know everyone in the group, I tend to be more myself because they know, even if I said something fucking crazy, like Nate, Johnny, you know, I'm not coming from a bad place. You know what I'm saying? If something's, make a joke that's like rude or something like that, you guys would never be like oh man, that dude's kind of fucked up. Like, y'all know my intentions.
Having these lessons now, though, like for all the stuff that we're saying, where it's like, wow, it sucks that we're learning all this stuff so late, we're 28. Like, my dad doesn't practice any of the shit that we just talked about, you know what I mean? He's not. And it's kind of crazy. It's emotional intelligence. The thing that we're developing right now is a whole different set of intelligence that is not measured really by a certain metric. Like, we know we're smart because we've taken a certain amount of standardized tests and have done enough things in a procedural manner as an engineer to say, like, okay, I can unequivocally prove I'm at this certain set of an intelligence. And that doesn't exist at all for emotional intelligence. But the stuff that we're doing right now is definitely developing the emotional side of our brains. And you don't have some metric that's saying like, oh, if you're this emotionally intelligent, this is what you'll receive in life. Like, if you think about it, like, our intelligence right now is literally the reason why we're getting paid at our jobs. We can see
the value is much clearer.
Exactly. The value is very clear. Yeah.
But this is fucking, these are all really good conversations. This is all.
Absolutely. This is the stuff we always talk about off the record. It's I'm sure when people listen to this podcast, they're like, oh, wow, they're not being ignorant as fuck this time. Yeah. That's right.
We have brain cells that work.
Yeah.
And emotions.
Yeah. That's right. Hell yeah.
I'm
going to make Gabby listen to this fucking podcast.
That's right. This podcast might save y'all's relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
He loves you, Gabby.
You're hanging on by a thread, Gabby. You made one more wrong move. Hey,
make one more move.
Hey, it's a tough position to be in, man.
But what's the time frame, though, right? Like, if we're talking, like, if you're in a relationship,
right?
Like, it could feel like, because our lives are kind of short right now, well, I'm in this for marriage, so this is technically for the rest of my life, right?
Right, right.
So is 4 years of having the same problem really a long time? Like, it feels like a long time, but if we're in this to the end, right, this is just a small blip.
Right.
Right.
No, totally. People are going to argue that's what's going to happen. Like, in dead ass, like, everybody in a relationship will say this. Almost all of your arguments come from, like, the same five arguments. And it's really about, like, how you handled those five arguments and what came out of that. And, like, what y'all were able to unpack. But, so, I don't really see it from a time measurement, but rather, like, a, do we love each other enough to make effort to try to find progress? That's, like, that to me is the most important thing. Do we still have that love for each other to not give in to our bad habits during this argument and actually try to seek progress?
It also gets confusing, like, what is love? Like, are we comfortable because we've been together for so long? Or is this love? Or, like, or do we really, truly love each other? So, like, how do you find that in the mundaneness and the routine of life? That's kind of the tough part what we're going through, right? Like, we've been together for 7 years, right? Like, through college. Now we're getting into that, like, we've been in a routine for now. I mean, been in the house for like 2 years and some change, to where things just keep going. So then, like you said, we're going through these cyclical problems that keep coming back, and it's like, yo, what the fuck, we've been kind of dealing with this problem for 4 years now, and it's like, that feels like a long time, but like I told you, in the grand scheme of things, if my mindset is really on marriage, that's really not that long of a time, which is how I rationalize us still working through it and eventually getting to the point where we need to be. Now we're kind of at the point where it's like, all right, do we keep going with it or do we not? We know there's love there.
We all see it.
For sure. But it gets murky. It gets muddy when you just in it every day. And then, like, I think social media kind of ruins it too, because it's like, oh yeah, the grass is greener over here.
Yeah.
Come on over here. We all Macarena and we all having a good time. Cha cha cha. Having a fucking blast. When really, is it though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think you're ever going to find a situation that isn't murky though.
Yeah.
And I think to your point on the time frame being a small point, I think the difference between you and Gabby and Johnny and Lauren is you guys are still in the mindset that you're going to have this for life, or at least you're working towards having this for life. So then the 4 years seems like, okay, it's nothing, because we're working on spending the next 50 years together. But where Johnny and Lauren weren't, they're at that point where they need to make a choice whether this was right for the rest of your life or not. And what you're saying with the 4 years being a small time frame, it's the exact opposite when you haven't chose if you want this rest of your life yet. Now 4 years is an incredibly small amount of time to choose whether this is right for the rest of your 60 years.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think what it is it's just the next level, right? Like, I proposed in April. So now we started thinking about venues and stuff and the wedding and all that. Mm-hmm. And so we started going to venues and looking at venues and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I think just the conversation alone brought up just more talking points, right? It's just the next level in the relationship, right? Like, are we ready to make this jump to locking it down? And it just brought up so many questions. And so, like, it's questions that we just kind of, I think, more or less delayed
till now.
It's real, right? Now we're about to spend $35,000 on a wedding, and it's like, and lock ourselves down by law. So it's like, it's just bringing up these conversations. And I think just think they're tough conversations to have, because as any relationship that's been together for 7 years, we've been through a lot of shit. Like you said, we're just at the point now where we need to decide, either we doing this shit or we not doing this shit,
right?
And like, we're about to sign up for couples therapy. We actually have our first session on Friday, which I think is gonna be really good for us too.
Congrats.
Yeah,
that's actually really mature of y'all to do that. And it's amazing. I went to couples therapy, and that did wonders for our relationship.
It brought you to that point, right? So now we won't feel confused, or if we make it to the decision of yes or no, it will be a very clear yes or no.
Right. It's so important. Yeah. I think it's a huge thing that everybody who's engaged should do it immediately. Oh, before you're engaged, but really specifically before you make a life decision like that, have a clearest understanding of each other and what each other wants out of life going into some shit like that, because that ring is hard to take back.
Absolutely. It's permanent, man. Yeah. Like, you can't play around when it comes to marriage. Exactly. You learn so much about somebody when you're on that path to marriage. It's crazy. Like, when you were talking about the venues and stuff, that was, it was wild, because me and Lauren also looked at this dude. The trip that I had going to Amsterdam was going to be the proposal trip. Like, I think I already told you guys this.
Oh, I didn't know.
That was, yeah, the whole reason why I was like, Sterling, can you come on this trip? Because I had all this shit booked already.
Oh.
And, like, I already, yeah, I already knew what ring I was going to get and shit. Like, I kind of, you know me, like, I'm a planner, so, like.
Yeah, you are. You are.
To the person you're with, like, you could date somebody for like 10-15 years. You'll never get to those conversations until you hit the point where you're really about to get married. So, I mean, I think you guys are doing the right things, like, and the right result will come out of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm confident either way it goes. Like, I mean, if we stay together, we will have put the work in for it to be a very successful marriage. I think once we get past that line, I think everything will be good. I also think if it doesn't work out, things will also be good. Like, yeah. Whether, you know what I'm saying? Like, just separately, though. It will be beautiful either way. I would rather us continue it and have a family so I can see my little boys go to the NFL and the NBA and my little girls be, you know, volleyball players and shit. But I'm confident in that we'll make it work. Like, you, and what you said, Johnny, makes me feel, and this is my last thing and I'm going to bed. You saying that us talking is actually a step in the right direction, because I mean, I guess it puts it into perspective, because like not a lot of relationships, I mean, there's relationships out there where they don't have these conversations, and
for sure,
really, we haven't had them as much as we should, but now we're having them.
Very mature, dude. I just really want it. Like, yeah. As men, we don't give each other credit in general for going to therapy, but like, especially from a couple standpoint, like, I've been there, man. Like, when you show up to like parties and stuff, you only want to talk about the good moments and stuff. You want to look like you guys got your shit together. Oh, but like, in reality, like, what you're doing is the real work to have a sustainable marriage. Like, that's so mature. So I think you guys are on like the right path. Like, I'm rooting for you guys, and no matter what, I know the right result is going to come out of that. So like, good on y'all. That's super mature, and like, I think only good things are going to come from this.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Well, boys, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Hit us up whenever, man. If you ever want to call or just
love you,
do one of these, we're here.
Yeah, for sure. That was a vibe.